ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Over and over, Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is WBC Boxing TV and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer as well as a four-time Golden Glove champion. So supposedly, allegedly, people think I know a little bit about boxing, but I've always found out the average fan probably knows more. So I'm going to open up the toll-free at the top of this hour just for you. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Our guest in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV is the WBC president. I didn't say Jose Suleiman. I said Mauricio Suleiman. Straight up, Mauricio will be here in a little while. Hour number two, we'll look into the, should there be a retirement age for boxers? I'm going to bring in Dr. Netan Sethi, of course, the head doctor for the New York City Athletic Commission, and I'll ask him those questions. Of course, a lot of questions in the world of boxing regarding concussions and all kinds of crazy stuff. So we'll talk medical with Dr. Sethi in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Now, I've got the text line here. The text line here in the studio, if you want to text us, you can. The number is 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, bit of an upset last night, actually a 20-1 upset. Gerald Washington, the former cruiserweight champion, a Marine, was supposed to show up to fight Mr. Coffey. Well, Michael Coffey was undefeated in 12 fights. Bottom line was his coffee was spilled last night. We'll talk about that in depth in the next segment of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, of course, live video via Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. This is Ring Talk.
Don't be-
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, Slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
They didn't tell Johnny Rice that last night. Johnny Rice comes from L.A., an L.A. native, former Marine, served some time in Afghanistan, 34 years old, 6'5", 268 pounds. Not the skinniest guy in the entire world, okay, but he was ripped and he was ready and he was in shape. They called him at the last minute to replace Gerald Washington, the former cruiserweight champion, who was older than George Washington. I kid you not, in the world of pugilism, I kid you not, he's like 40 years old. And of course, this is supposed to be a type of test, some type of test for Michael Coffey. Michael Coffey came in at 12-0, had a bunch of knockouts. He was a good-looking stud. I mean, they were pushing him on the PBC end of this to be an opponent eventually. I didn't think he was ever going to be a super fighter or like a world champion or anything like that, but I thought he was going to put himself in a position to make some money as an opponent, okay? Not going to happen. Last night he got lit up like the White House Christmas tree. I'm telling you, Johnny Rice came in at the last minute replacing Washington, knocked him out in the fifth round, TKO in five. Referee said he had enough. The coffee was spilled from the bell, from the first bell. I mean, he just got lit up and it just kept going on. I keep saying, when's this guy going to come back? When's this guy going to do something? When's this guy? He never got in track. Michael Coffey never got on track. And of course, the young man had coming off, he lost a couple of fights, Johnny Rice, with a record. Get this. The record is unheralded. 14-6 now, 1 draw and 10 KOs. So he came in at 13-6. Yeah, you know, he said that he hadn't tried in some fights or didn't try to close the show, and he realized that he was in great shape for this fight, and he wasn't a last-minute replacement. Yes, he was. They called him at the last minute. But he wasn't a last-minute replacement. Now, how could that be if he was a last-minute replacement and he wasn't? Because he was in shape. He was training. He said he sparred like 20 rounds the previous Friday. 20 rounds. Man was doing a heavyweight doing 20 rounds. So when I saw him about the third or the fourth round, and I saw that he was relaxed, and like, you know, this is like a sparring, okay? I said to myself, upset in the making, no doubt about it. Mr. Coffey's going to get lit up tonight. Of course, Al Haymon wasn't happy about that. And of course, it was a big A bit of a cancellation. I think Conor Benn and, was it Conor Benn and Adrian Granados were going to headline that card? Anyway, a couple of fights were KO'd this weekend because of COVID. Of course, the world title fight between the 135 pound champion, I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez and George Kambosos, looks like that's been pushed off to October now. Of course, it started in June. It was supposed to go in August. Now it's going to go in October. That's wasted time on the champion's slate. But then again, he had COVID, so maybe he needs a time off. Who knows? Anyway, bottom line is, fighter of the week, fighter of the month, fighter of the year thus far. I've got to give him props. He came, but they didn't give him a scintilla of a chance. I'm talking about Johnny Rice. And Johnny spells his name J-O-N-N-I-E. So more power to you, my brother, TKO5 over a Michael Coffey. Now, another shocker, and the only shocker was, how did this guy from China ever win a title? His name is Zhu Kan. I mean, he was a WBA featherweight title holder for a minute, I guess. Anyway, Lee Wood lit him up last night. If they were gay, it would have been domestic violence. That's how bad he beat up on this guy. Towards the end, especially. And the Asian fighter came in like with only three knockouts and like 15 something, you know, a lot of wins, only three knockouts. I mean, he was a gunfighter coming to a gunfight with a knife. And you don't usually win that way. And yeah, somehow he pulled off a WBA title. That must have been some chicanery going on there over in China, because this guy, he couldn't win the gloves here. He couldn't win nothing. I'm talking about Zhu Kan. Anyway, Lee Wood is all, him and Barry Hearn are like puffing their chest out, this and that they beat this guy from Asia, stopped him in the 12th round. But it wasn't much. Believe me, it just wasn't much. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, checking your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Mauricio Sulaiman joins us in a few minutes, and of course I will talk to Mauricio about the 135-pound division. Of course, what's happening with that? We've got Devin Haney, we've got Ryan Garcia. Is he still on leave? Is he coming back? I mean, we'll talk about all the different principles of 135. The new division, the bridgeweight division, of course, 224 pounds, which I was clamoring for a long time, because heavyweights are like 250 pounds now. I mean, like, look at that UFC route that they had a few months ago. Stipe Miocic, fine Golden Glove champion. I think he was the Ohio State Golden Glove boxing champion. Of course, he also had some wrestling and a good fighter, no doubt about it. He was the UFC heavyweight champion. But when he fought Francis Ngannou and gave up 35 pounds, it was like no contest. You just looked at these guys. It was like man versus beast. And, I mean, yeah, no. Yeah, and Stipe Miocic was the man. He was immortal here. He was sacrificed. There was no way in the world he could ever beat that guy. And now he's talking about wanting to get a rematch. Of course, Francis Ngannou, I'm bringing up the UFC just for a second here before we go to the break. But I'm bringing up the UFC because Francis Ngannou is their star. He's the heir apparent to greatness, I think. He's unbeatable as far as the UFC is concerned. And where I see the crossover is, I think he might be unbeatable at heavyweight, as far as a boxer is concerned. And why do I say that? He's got some boxing skills. I think he had, I don't know, 8 or 10 or 12 fights or something like that as a pro, as a professional boxer. He had that over in France. Not the greatest, the biggest talent pool over there in France in order to gauge what kind of fighter he really was. But he's matured. That first fight with Miocic, he lost it because he went taken to the ground. He didn't know what to do on the ground. He thought he was going to be able to stand up the entire time. That didn't happen. At the end of the day, this guy is a killer in the world of the UFC, but they don't want to match him with John Jones. Why is it? John Jones going to wait out his career. I think Francis Ngannou should wait out his contract. I think it expires in February. And I think if Ngannou can wait out his contract, he should wait out his contract too, because you know what Dana White did to him this week? Dana White announced is going to have a interim heavyweight title fight next week, because Francis Ngannou wasn't ready to go in August. That's what he said. So Derek Lewis is going to take on some undefeated lad, 13-0, 13 wax. That's going to go down next week, UFC 265 or something like that. And at the end of the day, that's all I'm going to talk about in the world of combat sports as far as the world of mixed martial arts is concerned today. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, checking your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Want to mention, 61 years ago today, Henry Tillman was born. And who is Henry Tillman? He's the 1984 Olympic gold medalist. I think he won the NABF title as a heavyweight, but didn't capture a heavyweight title as a professional. But as an amateur, he beat Mike Tyson not once but twice in the box offs, of course. Well, it was quite a feat. I think he got knocked down in each fight. But the bottom line is he beat Mike Tyson on points twice, didn't meet Mike Tyson as a pro. But when we were together at the Olympic Training Center in May of 1984, when I was rocking and rolling in my prime, baby. Anyway, we're training and we're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to run. I mean, like 5 to 5 o'clock, and they would bang on the door like about 4:45, bam, bam, bam. Like, in case you didn't know, you were getting up to run. Anyway, So you get up to run about 5:15. You get out there. You get on the bus. They take you somewhere, or anyway, they take you somewhere, and it's like 5:15, 5:30. You're out there running, right? And it's snowing. It's like 30 degrees, 30-something degrees, and it's snowing in Colorado Springs, okay? Now, Colorado Springs is weird because at noon that same day, it was like 65 degrees and the sun was shining. I kid you not, 65 degrees and the sun was shining. So at the end of the day, Henry Tillman, the eventual Olympic gold medalist, would get up at 11 o'clock. Oh, he used to kill me. I get up at 5 a.m., but he'd get up at 11. He wouldn't even have breakfast. He would go do his home, go do his road work, and then he'd go back and he'd have breakfast or lunch. And, of course, I would be coming back from lunch, and he would just be getting up. The bottom line was he won the eventual gold medal. I guess the Olympic Committee knew exactly what they were doing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, checking your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Coming up next, El Presidente. Mauricio Sulaiman of the World Boxing Council. Don't forget, the WBC has our own website, an interactive website. Everything you can imagine in the world of boxing and more, dieting, you name it, it's all going down, WBCBoxing.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Soul Side of Town, Mighty Tower of Power. Don't forget, there are at towerofpower.com. We take it south of the border and bring in the president of the World Boxing Council. And of course, I've written this down so I do not say Jose Sulaiman. Mauricio Sulaiman, how are you this morning, sir?
Fine, and very well, Pedro. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How's Mama?
She's doing great. She's simply beautiful and beautiful.
Lucky you. You're so fortunate. Okay, let's talk Canelo Alvarez. Of course, Canelo Alvarez, the WBC champion, 168 pounds, the world champion, 168, with the exception of the WBA belt. Caleb Plant holds that. Is this fight on or off?
I don't know. They have been very, very secretive. Everything is very silent. Canelo Alvarez expressed in December when he won the WBC super middleweight title that he had a desire to become undisputed in that division, be the first undisputed Latino fighter ever. But and he has then defeated the WBO champion, and now he's got only the IBF to go. And he's just waiting. We are waiting to see if he will fight Caleb Plant or not.
Okay. Good. That's good. You know, I was looking, somebody told me this week that Julio Cesar Chavez, a great Mexican legend, and Roberto Duran are getting together. And somebody said to me, they saw a picture of them standing in the ring next to each other. They're not going to fight each other. They're going to do a contender type of TV show. Is it coming out of Mexico? Have you heard this?
Yes. I was with them a couple of weeks ago when they started shooting some promos. They look great. They are so enthused. And they are very interested in giving back to the sport so much after they have been such an influential legendary champion. So I'm very happy for them, and I'm sure it will be a great success.
You know, if you look at boxing, the fact that I was looking back at some of the WBC rankings and this and that back in the 70s, Roberto Duran was ranked at 126 pounds before he moved up to 135 pounds. Of course, he captured that title. He started at 122. He eventually fought as high and won championships as high as 160 pounds. You know, when you talk about the greatest fighters of all time, he has to be mentioned.
Absolutely. Duran is one of the greatest ever in the whole history of the sport.
Little hands of stone, no doubt about that. Now, David Benavidez is going to take on Jose. How do you say this guy's last name? Uza, how do you say it?
Uskategui.
Okay, I got that. Uskategui. I'll get that right. Anyway, David Benavidez is the heir apparent to greatness at 168 pounds. Any chance of this fight being, pulled and maybe Benavidez or Jose stepping in for Caleb Plant? Do you know anything? No rumors at all coming out of this at all?
No, I haven't heard. And you know, I don't like rumors.
Okay.
I don't like to go with what is being said. There's so much fake news already in the world. So if we go and use it in boxing, it's just a waste of time.
You know, Mauricio.
Canelo Alvarez is a champion. He's in a voluntary stage. He can do whatever he wants because there is no mandatory contender. And we will support whatever fight he decides to take. Okay. Of course, if he wants to do the ultimate unification, that would be great. If he wants to do another fight, we would support him as well.
Speaking of fake news, somebody, a good friend of mine said to me yesterday, he goes, you know, Pete, this vaccine that you took is not FDA approved. I said, you mean the Food and Drug Administration? He goes, yeah. I go, yes, it is. I said, everything that we take, every vaccine is approved by the Food and Drug Administration. But that just shows you some of the crazy talk going out there that the vaccine wasn't approved by the Food and Drug Administration when it was.
No, that's crazy. Everybody would go to jail. you cannot sell candy. I mean, nothing can go above the FDA, and it takes a long process for approval. And now that you talk about vaccine, I like that you do, because I would like to encourage everyone to go ahead and work together to get the world back to normal. We all need to get the vaccination. When I was hesitant at the very beginning, my wife simply told me, would you rather experience the effect of the vaccine, or you want to risk it and experience the effect of COVID-19 and perhaps die? So that's very powerful. We start in August, today, starting the month. Every WBC ring official, everybody, every supervisor, any member of the WBC needs to be vaccinated in order to work. If you are a judge or a referee and you're not vaccinated, the WBC will not have your name in the list. And we're going to start the process with the boxers. Of course, there are certain countries that do not have access to vaccine. Mm-hmm. But if you live in a country that has vaccine available, you have to do that and work with, together with humanity. This is something that is not, it's not a game. We're seeing the third and the fourth wave. And I don't want to go back to homeschooling and see my kids go through this all over again.
You know, I look back and I think about Eddie Cotton, the referee. Of course, he refereed Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis, but I think it was in Kentucky or somewhere like, anyway, back in the South. And that was back in the day. He passed a little bit less than a year ago from the coronavirus, and there was no vaccine available for him. You hear what I'm saying? So he didn't have a choice, but there are people nowadays that have a choice, and I don't know why you want to risk like dying or getting really sick inside of, because of maybe political reasons. I don't get it.
That's the issue. With so much uncertainty, just play it safe. I mean, if you are vaccinated, still you have to be cautious and wear the mask. I mean, there's no hurry. We have lived a great life, and there's so many happy moments ahead in everyone's future. Just let this pass, be intelligent, get your vaccine, wear your mask, protect your family, protect your loved ones, your friends, and we will together make it out. This is so unfair to have someone go through a process and then the guy next to you ignore it and then be bound to go to a hospital and die. Mm. So many beautiful, dear people who did not have the option to have a vaccine passed away. Okay. So many people have suffered all over the world. We should all work together. And if you have a different belief, then okay, but stay home. Don't go out and don't be part of the continuation of a new wave.
Well put, no doubt about it. WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman is on the line from Mexico City. Of course, he's president of the World Boxing Council. You can always check out their interactive website at WBCboxing.com. The WBC opened an office in Dubai. I was in Dubai for 2 weeks with Harold Smith. Of course, you remember Harold Smith. And I had food poisoning, Mauricio, and I was in the hospital in Dubai. I went down there for a vacation and to do a TV gig and ended up spending like 3 days in the hospital. Well, I didn't have a fun time in Dubai.
Well, you're too fragile, Pedro. You get sick everywhere. Come on.
I'm old.
Yes, you're an old.
So tell me about the WBC opening office in Dubai. Why?
Well, we have the WBC Middle East Council, okay, which is the 10th affiliated federation to the WBC. The president is Amir Khan. We have put together a great team to develop boxing in the Middle East. So we began with the office in Dubai. Coming soon will be Qatar and Bahrain. We have had great activity in Pakistan, and we visited the Pope with a representative in Iraq. So this is the opening of a new market. Most of these countries do not have professional boxing yet. So we're helping them to establish a professional boxing commission, training ring officials, doctors, administration of a boxing commission, of course, supporting gymnasiums, opening up gymnasiums. And the idea is to help these 16 countries to generate boxing and to start and to not go, because now what you see in the Middle East, you go, you have a big promotion, you go there, get the money, and you're out, and you don't leave anything for the society. What we are doing is the reverse. We're going in there from the roots to start gyms, to start boxing, to help them develop, just like as we did in China since 2002. And we're very enthused, and Amir Khan has been a great ambassador. He's very happy, very mm-hmm. active, and we have, as I said, a great team together working on this.
Okay, WBC President Mauricio Suleiman is our guest. Of course, on the WBC website, you've got a nutrition committee, fat-burning foods. I think I got to check this one out. I've gained 14 pounds, and I stopped running about 6 weeks ago, Mauricio. I got lazy. I stopped running, as you know, and I've gained 14 pounds, so I'm back on the road tomorrow.
Yes, yes, you have to do that. When you take discipline out of the equation, it gets very difficult. So it's a matter of understanding that wellness, both physical and mental, is so important, but you have to work on it. This morning, my son woke me up at 8 o'clock and said, "Dad, let's go." And we went to train boxing with Jose Luis Bueno. Mm-hmm. And every day of the week, I walk. If I cannot walk, then I do a little bicycle in my house. But you have to watch what you do and what you eat, and you can be a very happy doing the healthy things.
I remember your father would say to me, he goes, "You eat like a bird." I said, "Godfather, if I ate any more, I said I'd be fat." I mean, I just would. And as far as getting sick, you're right. I haven't gotten sick in a few countries, but I've been to 34 countries. So I guess the odds you're going to get sick in a couple of them.
Of course, and I was just joking.
Okay. Luke Campbell, former WBC guy, announced his retirement. He's not an old guy. He's quitting like 31 years old.
It's a good decision. When your body says something and your mind listens, you have to act. Boxers usually stay too long in the sport. Any fighter who retires, you have to support and praise him. And we're going to reach out to Luke and offer him to be an ambassador of the WBC, just as we have done with several others. And he was a great, great representative of the sport, fought toe-to-toe with Lomachenko, was mm-hmm. very close of becoming WBC world champion. He was a silver champion, international champion, and he's a real nice kid, a role model for society.
No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. We've got a text line. If you want to text us here in the studio, you can, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, a split screen between myself and, of course, these Sulemans, both Mauricio and his late father. I'm talking about the godfather himself, Jose Suleiman. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Twitch.tv, Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, SportsByline.com. I can keep going, but the bottom line is you know where you're at.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. I hope that you understand that not one single person, not one single committee can do anything for boxing. It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
It's the Fab Four, the Beatles. What are they doing? They're singing Happy Birthday. So we sing a belated birthday to Don Jose Suleiman. Of course, May 30th, I believe he would have turned 90 years old. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. On the line from Southern, from Mexico City, the current WBC president, the son of the aforementioned Don Jose Suleiman, Mauricio Suleiman. And Mauricio, what's happening with 135 pounds?
Well, as you know, Teofimo Lopez contracted COVID-19, so his fight with Cambosos had to be postponed. And we have a new interim champion. Ronnie Rios defeated...
Yeah, we're here. Don't worry about it. So my question to you was Teofimo and his team, were they vaccinated?
I have no idea. We have not received any communications from their side. I guess they were not. Hopefully he will be back and be healthy. We have concerns on any fighter who has had a COVID-19. We have seen many champions lose. Berchelt, Luke Campbell had COVID-19, Povetkin, Neri, Bokachuk. So it's a tendency. If you have had COVID-19, it's a red light that you have to address, and there should be additional testing for those who have contracted the virus.
I remember looking at these huge heavyweights at a heavyweight title fight one time. He was like 260 pounds, looking at the Klitschkos and saying to your father, you know, these guys are huge. These guys are huge. They're too big for anybody else. It's not fair for a guy 205 pounds to have to fight a guy 260 pounds. And he looked at me and he thought that was pretty, he could see that. And then of course now we've got the bridgeweight division. Is it 224 pounds or less?
Exactly. 224 to 200. And we're using 24 pounds because it's exact measurement with the British 16 stones. So the first fight is going to be September 17 for the world title. We have Rivas against Jennings opening up boxing in Canada after this difficult year. And we're very happy it's coming. We have a silver champion and mandatory, so... there should be great activity in the bridgeweight division.
Okay. Mauricio, do you think professionals should be able to fight in the Olympics?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The Olympic letter is intended to develop athletes from all over the world to conquer Olympic glory, to win a medal for their country. And the Olympic Games have been a great platform in boxing for legendary champions to shine in the amateur ranks and then move on to professional boxing, start with the 4, 6, 8 round fights with the 10 rounds, then move on and win championships. How fair is it to see a very solid world champion go to the Olympics and compete against a young amateur fighter from any country? Could be a strong country not great boxing country. That's killing the sport. That's killing the essence of amateur boxing and Olympic boxing. But that's not what is important. The important thing is very dangerous. Boxing is not a game. In the Olympics, you can have golf and tennis and basketball and soccer and enjoy a great exhibition by the best of the world. But in boxing, you cannot play boxing. So you can see something tragic happen, and we will never allow and support, because there is no limits. If they said, okay, there we accept professionals with certain parameters, then it's different. Like if they say, we can allow four rounders or maybe six rounders to compete. It's okay. But if they say any professional fighter, and the result has been very clear, Canelo refused, Manny Pacquiao refused, Amir Khan, every single professional star, every boxer has said, I am not going to go to the Olympics and hurt a young kid. That would be blood in my hands. And I will not, I'm past that. The Olympics are for young kids, for upcoming stars. So that's a very easy response.
When I took part in the Olympic trial process, the world champion at that point in time was Aaron Pryor, the Hawk Pryor, okay? The last thing this three-round kid needed was going against Aaron Pryor. I mean, it was crazy. But that's what they've opened the door for this. And I think the WBA has been part of that.
Well, I don't talk about others. We talk what we do.
Okay.
It's disgraceful to support a movement to attempt against exactly what you said. I asked Oscar De La Hoya, Oscar, what do you think the young Oscar De La Hoya who won the medal, what would happen if he had to face you, the 8-time world champion in the ring? He said, oh, I would kill myself. It's impossible. It's something that cannot happen. It's very simple, very clear, but you know, they can do something. They can have the Olympic competition for the medals, and they could put a world championship fight every night, and that would be interesting, and people can see great boxing, but professional against professional, and not risk a professional against amateur.
Okay. Frank Warren put a lot of money in amateur boxing in the UK. I did that about 10, 12 years ago, and it paid off for him. There's been no investment in amateur boxing in the United States by anybody per se. Why?
That's a problem. Olympic boxing in the USA and in many countries, this is AIBA ruined the sport 20 years ago. The very bad administration with the bad results when Roy Jones was robbed and the scandals and the corruption. So network TV sponsors started fading away from boxing. And USA Boxing is trying to do a good job, and they work hard. But without support, without funds, without the industry supporting the amateur movement, it's very difficult. You need to have training facilities. You need to have scouting. You need to do tournaments. You need to go out and have international competitions. So I am hoping that after these Olympics, the world would get together and make it clear that boxing has to continue in the Olympic Games. It is guaranteed for Paris, but then there's uncertainty after Paris if boxing will remain in the Olympic Games. However, they just released a great statement confirming that the world Google search, boxing is number four all around the world. So that's a great position telling the world and the IOC that boxing is very important and interest for everyone in the world.
Unanimous decision for boxing. Global search data reveals boxing is the fourth most powerful Olympic sport, Tokyo 2020. Check that story out on the front page of WBCBoxing.com. Now, the heavyweight champion is going to do his thing, of course, to talk about Tyson Fury. Now, you know, these fights keep getting canceled because of COVID reasons. I mean, is anybody going to step up like an athletic commission? I mean, if you sign a contract and you've got millions of dollars on the line, all these people are going to be there, and the musicians have to be there, the ushers for the arena has to be there, the arena has to be there, the guy selling the popcorn has to be there, everybody has to be there, and then you get COVID or you don't take the vaccine, you get COVID, and the fight doesn't happen, you've basically screwed over a lot of people. Money-wise, you see my point? So do you think there's going to be clauses in contracts now where you have to be vaccinated? Are we going to that?
Well, as I said, we're starting a process within the WBC. You know, promoters have struggled so hard. They worked so hard during the pandemic. They did the bubbles. They did such an investment. It has become very expensive for the promoters because they perform a lot of testing and protocols, and they cannot sell tickets. So it's been very difficult road. And now that we are almost there, We have fights being canceled because combatants contracted COVID. I mean, you can contract it by accident, but there's many ways to be very, very cautious. And I think that everybody should understand if that's the way you're making your living, they should not take any risk and be much more strict on what they do. I mean, they go in camp for 2-3 months, and then by one stupid movement, they risk it all. Everybody should get a vaccine. Everybody should be cautious because they can ruin their career and the livelihood of many.
And without a doubt. Now, my blood is green. My heart is gold. That is the WBC website, WBCboxing.com. One last thing. When you look at the entire amateur program here in the United States, the fact that it's not funded by anybody in particular and the government hasn't gotten behind it, and you say IBA, EBA, whatever those people ruined it about 20 years ago, what's the comeback? Do we need corporate involvement? What's going to happen here?
I don't know. I know the WBC started a amateur committee many years ago. We have served as a platform to support different countries and different groups and different promoters. It has been a very nice venture. Amateur boxing is beautiful. It's all about family. The competitions we have had, the Green Belt Challenge, you see all the families come out, and it's a great moment, great passion, and it has been very gratifying. Mm-hmm. Every country has their own group for amateurs, so there has to be some leadership. If the promoters would get together and form a group, and they could even do like the drafts that they do in other sports, mm-hmm. and that could be a great opportunity for promoters to find talent and support amateurs and then get the future champions from that process. Okay. But it is difficult. There has to be a strong leader on top of everything and to get people in the same state mind and the same principles and values. You know, amateur boxing is about the sport. It's about the fighters. Professional boxing is about the business. So there has to be a combination of people to take care of the amateurs, because without a good amateur program, then the professional side is going to, for sure, suffer consequences.
Okay. I got about a minute and a half before the break, Mauricio. Is there anything I didn't bring up you want to talk about?
Well, I think it's been a great program. There's a good close of the year. We have Pacquiao against Spence coming up, waiting for Canelos. We have Wilder against Fury, the third fight, coming mm-hmm. up in October. Many other fights. Valdez is going to defend his title. The first bridge of wear title, a fight in Japan with a mini flyweight champion. So there's great activity. Women are booming. We're going to start doing a report on the scoring system that we have been working for 2 years that should help and change the judges uniform thinking. So there's many things. We're working all over the place, and the social responsibility programs are doing very well. I'm just very happy and very active.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mauricio Sulaiman, the son of Don Jose Sulaiman, my buddy, president of the World Boxing Council. Mauricio, have a good day, and don't forget, kiss mama for me.
Thank you so much. God bless, and have a great Sunday.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, the WBC has their interactive website. Check it out. WBCboxing.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
Wow, Genaro Hernandez, El Chiquinito, of course, that was a surprise. My producer does things to surprise me every once in a while, and that was a bit of a shock there. Of course, Man, Genaro Hernandez, we're going to say, why isn't he not in the World Boxing Hall of Fame, the International Boxing Hall of Fame? Check this out. The only guys he ever lost to was Floyd Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya. And Oscar, he went into that fight with a broken nose. Shane Mosley broke his nose about 2 weeks before in sparring, and they didn't cancel the fight because, you know, the money and the event and all that kind of good stuff. But the bottom line was, Gennaro's only lost two fights in his entire life as a professional, had 30-something fights, and he's not in the International Boxing Hall of Fame, even though he was a world champion. And that just doesn't seem right. Anyway, talk to me about that. 1-800-878-7529. Does Gennaro belong in the World Boxing Hall of Fame? You tell me. I think he does. The International Boxing Hall of Fame and the World Boxing Hall of Fame. Of course, one's located in California, the World Boxing Hall of Fame, and the International Boxing Hall of Fame is located in Canasota, New York. Now, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, I'm going to bring a doc. That's right, our ringside doc. I'm talking about the top doctor in the New York State Athletic Commission, Dr. Netan Sethi. We'll talk boxing. We'll talk mandatory retirement ages. We'll talk all kinds of good stuff on the medical side of boxing a little bit later in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. So, hour number two upcoming after the news. Stay tuned. Stick around. Of course, live to you on Sports Byline, the Sports Byline USA. Of course, the Twitch. Take that back. Let me start this again. We're live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, live on SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 217, iHeartRadio Sphere. I was like, we can go on and on, like 1,000 different internet platforms. But the bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC Boxing TV, brought to you in part by the World Boxing Council. Stay tuned for hour number two after the news on Sports Byline.